Hello.
Keeping this one in.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Perfect Cast. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Jack. This week we discussed Away We Go and To All the Boys I Loved Before, the sequel.
We also talk about intelligence and Better Call Saul.
And I've got a new game. New game.
New game.
Okay, so shall I start with some news?
Yes.
Okay. News. Director Matt Reeves reveals the new Batmobile.
Oh.
So the director of the new Batman film, Sir Robin Pattinson, has revealed the new Batmobile on his Twitter account. So, Jack, I'm going to show you some pictures, and what do you think?
Oh, okay. It's kind of like more of like a classic car. It's got like a DeLorean vibe to it. Like if the Batmobile was a DeLorean.
Do you
it's
know what?
Still got that like exposed back engine, like it. Well, it was on the front on the old ones.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever used to have the toy where you could fire the missile at the front? It looks like that crossed with like.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Yeah, go on.
Kit.
Kit. From Knight Rider. Knight Rider. Yeah.
Or it gives me Kit vibes or Starchy and Starsky
and Hutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that like or what's the. The one.
It's very 80s, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess we're the last couple of Batman films have had like these really advanced, cool looking. I mean, it is a cool looking Batmobile, but it is a bit.
Retro.
Yeah, what's the. What's the film where they've got the red car and it's got like a number on the front of it?
Like Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard, yeah. It's like that if they had a Batmobile.
Yeah. The Jungle Cruise trailer and poster have been released today, and the film is due to be out in the UK for July 24th.
Oh, okay.
Looking forward to that one.
Summer film?
Yeah. Parasite becomes the highest grossing foreign language film of all time in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Taika Waititi is directing two Roald Dahl films for Netflix, announcing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as an animated series.
Wait, is directing two films, but one of them's an animated series?
Yeah, that's what the article said.
Oh, okay.
They've also announced the BFG and Matilda.
They've just done the BFG?
I know. It didn't do well. Sorry, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I suppose.
But I don't know if Taika Waititi is involved in the Matilda and BFG one, but he's definitely involved in Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory. See, that's a shame, because it's as we've learned from stuff like Star Wars, it's worth keeping the same director if you're doing a run of certain things.
I mean, it's not like Star Wars, though, because it's three different stories, like different characters.
Yeah, I know, but they're all from the same Roald Dahl universe, aren't they? Yeah.
And finally, Chernobyl's Craig Mazin said to adapt The Last of Us for HBO.
Oh, cool, because I know they've been talking about like a Last of Us movie or...
It's very
whatever.
Cinematic, isn't it?
Yeah, very cinematic. It's one of my favourite storytelling games. Last of Us 2 is coming out as well, so
yes.
I'm sure that'll come along with the hype of that. And then stuff like The Witcher, where they've got games turned into...
Movies
or TV shows.
Yeah.
It seems to be on trend. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they'll do Rayman. Mm. That'd be interesting. The Rayman movie.
Spyro the Dragon.
Spyro movie.
Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah. Croc. Legend of the Gobbos.
What's Croc?
He's like that little crocodile. So there was like Crash, Spyro, and Croc.
I cannot visualise Croc. I imagine he's a little green crocodile, but I don't know what.
So you had like Crash, who was red, Spyro is blue, and then Croc was green. Okay. That's how I think of it anyway.
Spyro's purple.
So is that it from the news
this
week?
That's it for the news this week.
Cool. Just following up from last week's episode, and shows we're not going to go into a great deal in, but we've still been watching. We've got RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, so we met the rest of the drag queens this week, and again, not leaning towards anyone just yet, and I just wanted the season to get going. That was like my blurb of this week's episode.
So was it just like the second half to the first episode?
Yeah, so all the new queens came on. They didn't meet the queens from last week. They just thought that they were starting from scratch, and then the exact same thing happened this week. This lot don't seem as bitchy, and Catty is the first lot, so I feel like I'll probably like this group more than the other group. But we discovered that one called Sherry Pie has been done for catfishing, and she has been removed out of RuPaul's Drag Race, but obviously it's all pre-recorded, so she's not allowed to be in the final.
So she's going to be in this throughout the whole series.
Yeah, and it's annoying because I read that halfway through watching this episode.
Right.
What she did wasn't very nice. I'm not going to delve into it here, but if you're interested, Google Sherry Pie, RuPaul's Drag Race. At first, I was like, oh my God, I think she might be my favourite. And then as soon as I read what she'd done, I was like, she is turning my stomach being on the screen.
Fair enough. Okay. Then next up, we had The Outsider.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting to move forward. Things are happening, but it's still so slow. We've got three episodes left.
I quite enjoyed the episode we watched last night. There was a bit where like I was like, run, oh my God, run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that was probably the most exciting bit of the episode. Just move a little bit faster, please. And we're two more episodes into The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's not been as good. We've only seen two more episodes, but I'm hoping the more episodes we watch, you know, be hit and miss maybe.
Yeah.
Doesn't give us goosebumps at the minute, but I'm hoping the goosebumps come back.
Yeah, not a great deal has happened. No. Or they're not as dramatic as the last two.
Yeah.
Especially episode four, I found it harder to follow than a few of the others.
Yeah, I think they just...
It was just a peculiar story, and I don't mean that in like a good peculiar because it's the Twilight Zone. I mean, it's just a bit, hang on, what are we talking about here? So that's the follow up. Mm-hmm. So just a bit of continuation of the shows we've been watching.
Yes.
We watched one new film, which we'll get round to, but on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, we had a nice evening, didn't we?
Yeah, we were practicing eating popcorn with chopsticks.
Yes, because neither of us can use chopsticks. And for when we go to Japan, we want to be able to use chopsticks. So we thought,
let's have a practice.
Let's have a practice. And by picking up popcorn, thought, you know,
yeah, it's got fumbly,
notches.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's got notches for you to walk the chopsticks into.
Hey, we did all right, didn't we?
You did better than I did.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
But yeah, because we're having like a nice evening. We watched one of our favourite films.
Yeah, which is Away We Go, starring Maya Rudolph and John Krasinski.
Yes. It's a really easy, like, feel-good film.
Yeah.
So it's basically, like, about a pregnant couple who visit destinations around America and, like, briefly in Canada to settle down and raise a family.
Yeah.
And I think as we get older,
we relate to it more.
We relate to it more. And not because, like, we're not pregnant.
No.
But more just you have the same conversations about where should we live?
Yeah, do we want to stay here for X amount of years?
Is this where we want to be? Yeah. Where do we want to be in 5 years' time? Yeah. And just more adult conversations. And that's what this film is.
Yeah, it's just like what would feel like home for them. Like they go visit their sister, their cousin, their friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want to settle somewhere that feels like home to them.
Yeah.
It's a really nice film and it's really funny. John Krasinski's so funny in it. This is the first thing I ever saw John Krasinski in.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with him. And then I saw him in It's Complicated, which is a Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin film. And then I saw him in The Office.
I think it's like, it's one of the first things I've seen John Krasinski in as well. And then following the same path as you did, a few like bits and pieces that he's been in. Nowadays, after, you know, success of The Quiet Place.
Yeah,
and
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher. It's all like Ripped and Mr. Handsome. And it's sort of followed the Chris Pratt path of like, I know Chris Pratt went from being sort of like a bit tubby to like super handsome.
Yeah.
Where John Krasinski's gone from being like nerdy goofball to like handsome action figure, but also
handsome nerdy goofball.
Still got the
That's the thing I like about John Krasinski is when you watch him in interviews, he hasn't changed. He's still really silly. Whereas Chris Pratt balls the life out of me these days. He's not funny.
Yeah, one thing I've like thought about with The Way We Go is it's like an indie rom com. So instead of it being like your normal romantic comedy where it's like will they won't they or you're waiting for these two characters to fall in love or that sort of thing, it's like further on than that, and it's not had to be a fairy tale in order to get there. It's a very real situation,
yeah,
and then in order to make it an entertaining film they've just put in a few obscure characters, like Maggie Gyllenhaal's character.
Yeah.
So Maggie Gyllenhaal plays an eccentric, over-the-top. I think she's a professor of, or like she teaches parenthood, because she's like works in a school.
I don't think she teaches parenthood. I think she's just a teacher.
She's just a teacher who has children. But they have these like ridiculous beliefs on bringing up children and refuse to use pushchairs and prams and stuff.
Yeah, because she believes that you're pushing your child away from you rather than bringing
holding them close.
And they have like seahorses all over the houses because the male carries the baby and that's what she wants to do to her husband.
They live in a different sort of
lifestyle,
but they sort of like play on that fact.
Yeah.
So that's like one of my favourite scenes in it.
Yeah.
As well as the boy who comes in the hotel.
And they're like, tell him what you think about babies. What does he say?
I wrote it down. So basically, like, they've gone to visit Maya Rudolph's sister, and she works as like a hotel manager or something, and they're sitting in the hotel lobby. Maya Rudolph and John Krasinski. This mum comes in with a son called Beckett, and basically the mum's pointing out stuff, going like, Beckett, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's a plant. What's that? Oh, it's a sofa. And then she points at Maya Rudolph and they have a bit of small talk. And she says, now, what's this over here? And then Beckett says, oh, it's a baby. And when the mum's like, oh, well done, he then goes on to say, babies like to breathe and they're good at hiding it. I put a pillow over a baby. I thought she wasn't breathing, but she was. She was sneaky, but I'll try again. Like, the whole film is really, like,
it's just really witty,
mellow
and, just like,
and chilled. And then that was just, like, a really sinister line coming from, like, a three-year-old.
Chubby little blonde kid.
Yeah, it was strange. How many times have we seen this film now?
Like 15.
Like 15 times, yeah, I'd say.
We owned it twice at one point. We both had it on DVD before we moved in with each other, and I own it on iTunes as well.
Yeah, so, like, this is definitely, in my, like, personal top five films, it doesn't go in there, but if we had to have a list of, like, our top five.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it'd definitely make the top five.
Yeah, it's, like, definitely, like, a easy watch, cheer you up watch. Just something that makes you smile.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd recommend it to anyone who's just after that, like, easy watch, but they want something a bit more real than the fantasy romantic comedy as opposed to. So I think it's safe to say that this is a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of my favourite films to watch with you. So
on the flip side of that, we did watch, it's sort of a romantic comedy. It's like a teenage romance. And that was the sequel to All the Boys I've Ever Loved.
Is it? Maybe we should really write down names. It's called To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Oh, sequel. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
I've seen it called To All the Boys I Loved Before, comma, P.S. I Love You.
Yeah, but also it's just called The Sequel as well on Netflix, so I don't know.
Netflix needs to make up its mind on
I think it's because it was
called
a book, so I think one will be the title of the book and one will be the movie title.
Okay, fair enough. I saw as well that they're making this into a trilogy.
Oh, God.
That's what I thought.
Should we just talk about what we think about this one first?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so it's about a girl called Lara Jean who, in the first movie, if you've not seen it, as she was growing up, she wrote letters to all the boys that she thought that she'd fallen in love with.
Yeah.
And then put the letters in a drawer, never sent them, just sort of to get her feelings out on paper and so that she can move on from them.
Like a diary across different letters.
Yeah. And then a sister finds them and posts them all.
Yes.
So all the boys find out what she feels and stuff. But she ends up getting with a lad called Peter.
She's also trying to get with Peter, who's like the popular kid at school.
Peter needs a beard, essentially, because his girlfriend's broken up with him. She uses Lara Jean as sort of like a beard, a pretend girlfriend.
A beard?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Well, it's when gay people pretend to have girlfriends, it's called a beard.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. So to try and make his girlfriend jealous, he makes a deal with Lara Jean to pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend to make the other girl jealous.
It's
but then they end up falling
for
each other.
Okay, yeah.
So she receives a reply off John Ambrose, which is a boy that she fancied when she was in like year 6 or something.
Junior school.
Yeah. She doesn't reply because she thinks it'd be disrespectful to Peter, who's her current boyfriend.
Yeah.
But then they all have to volunteer for like extra credit. She volunteers at an old people's home. So she goes there, no one else wanted to do it, and John Ambrose has also volunteered to do it, so they end up spending a lot of time together. John Ambrose seems like a really nice guy, and Peter does not seem like a nice guy. He messes her around and toys with her emotions quite a bit, hanging out with his ex-girlfriend a lot, even though he knows it hurts her feelings, which makes her question herself all the time. And I just don't think that's a good quality in someone. If someone's making you feel bad about yourself and question yourself all the time, that's not good. Whereas Jordan Fisher's character, John Ambrose, he's like saying how great she is all the time. She doesn't question herself once while she's with him.
Yeah.
And the only time she does is when she's thinking about Peter. So
They paint Peter to be a bit of a
crap boyfriend.
And then they put this John Ambrose in a good light.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to say, because it gets a bit spoilery.
In my opinion, it was a film that didn't need to be made. And exactly. The fact that they're making the third one, or they could be making the third one.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I mean, maybe teenagers are enjoying it. It's maybe we're too old and farty.
We're past it. Yeah. It was an okay film, I suppose. Gave it 3 out of 5.
Wow, that's still super high.
It's not that high.
Oh, gee whiz. I give it 2.
You gave it a 2 out of 5.
It's rubbish. I'd never watch it again. Would you watch it again, Jeff? Would you sit and watch it again? That's what a 3-star tells me.
Okay. No, I wouldn't watch it again.
There you go. So why does it deserve 3 whole stars?
Because I enjoy sitting with you and watching it.
That's rubble.
I enjoyed the experience of watching it with you. That's what made it nice. It gets a few points for that.
Okay. So, we have to watch things in separate rooms so Jack can judge things realistically.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Sorry, I heighten your experience.
We wanted to get round to going to the cinema this week, but there's nothing out. We've both bought on Groupon 5 cinema tickets for £20.
Yeah.
Which is a great deal.
So that's 10 cinema tickets, and we've used it, once?
Yeah, we've got till a week before the end of March to use them, and we can't think of anything to go and see.
Well, everything I wanted to go, because I had like a list of like 7 films that I wanted to go and see, and all of them are only in the cinema for like a week.
Yeah, so, or they're on like at obscure times. Yeah, so we can only go.
And we've got, it's an Odeon ticket.
Yep.
We've got 2 Odeons that we can get to, me and you.
Yeah.
And there is nothing.
Yeah, so
we'll try.
Our options this week, and you'll find out what we watch, obviously, later on for episode 15, but we've got, is it Dark Waters?
Dark Waters, which is a film about Mark Ruffalo fighting the government about them
poisoning the water in the local town. And it's,
we think.
Yeah, and it's making a lot of people ill, so they fight the government on that. Yeah. What was the other one?
Which, Harlequin.
Oh, yeah, the new Harlequin film. Or Sonic.
Oh yeah, we could go see Sonic. So, why not? Let's just...
I mean, at the moment,
Saturday,
we've got nothing
to do. Let's just start the day with Sonic.
Right.
Have lunch.
Yeah.
Watch Harlequin.
Yeah.
Have tea.
Yeah.
We're eating very small meals, very fast.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch...
Dark Water.
Feel a bit sad. Maybe we should end the day with Sonic.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
If, I don't know, that might make us sad as well.
And the cinema run times have to allow for this schedule as well.
We might have to travel to 2 different cinemas. We'll make it work. We'll Tim Gunn it.
Look at us. Look how we've got 2 Odeons.
I know, fancy.
Wow. So from a film point of view, that's it, isn't it?
Yes.
We'll definitely have some more films for next week. I did watch Spirited Away.
Okay.
But I've seen it several times before and you haven't seen it, so...
Is it the one with the pigs?
Yes.
Okay, every time we watched it when we were like teenagers and we always fell asleep.
Yes, so...
And that's all I remember of
it. You need to watch it properly.
I remember there was pigs falling asleep and then the DVD menu waking me up and being like, Jack, turn it off.
Yeah, that's basically it. You don't need to see it.
That's the film.
That's the film. Now, loads of awesome stuff happens in between. It's the Ghibli film to watch.
Okay.
There are plenty of other good ones, but that's like, it's the default Ghibli one. Yeah, that one or My Neighbor Totoro. Do you know what I mean?
Or like, Howl's Moving Castle.
Well, no, but the two that usually spring to mind are those two. Howl's Moving Castle's my favourite.
Kiki's Postal Service.
Kiki's
Delivery Service.
I think that might be what they call it in America because they like to change the names of stuff like Sorcerer's Stone and Philosopher's Stone.
I mean, that's just because they're still gooses.
Like so yeah, we can either review that next week or whenever we've got around to seeing it. Yeah, depends on whether you've got around to seeing it.
Yeah. We've got a full day of cinema in. Got a full day of cinema in.
Yes.
On Saturday. So when will we find the time?
When will we find the time? So yeah, movies is that's where we're at with movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. TV. Been watching anything good?
Oh, we're doing. Sorry, I was playing with coins. I only have one TV.
You've only got one TV. I've got two TVs.
And one of them's one we share.
So...
You go for yours.
Okay. So last week I mentioned that I started watching Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Because series 5 has just landed on Netflix. I believe it's series 5, yeah?
God.
There's not many episodes each series, and then they release them one at a time. So it's nice to have that weekly one episode. Yeah, okay. I think it's Thursdays that they usually drop as well. So each season, we've got closer and closer to finding out what happens to Saul after Breaking Bad. And the start of this season like teases it even further.
So do you think we'll ever see Bryan Cranston in it?
Well, this is it. We're getting to the point now where it's got to be so close to him meeting Walter White. And he's still with the blonde lawyer girl. So Lisa started watching Better Call Saul, but then dropped off because...
Season 2. Ugh, so boring.
There's a few, you know, not as great episodes, but it moves at a different pace to Breaking Bad. And I think a lot of people were expecting that. But because, like, Walter White and Breaking Bad, like, you're following Walter White's story, so you move at his speed.
No. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be, like, Breaking Bad, but I was expecting it to be good.
That's a bit harsh. I like it because it's still in that universe, that Vince Gilligan universe. Yeah. Even though like the main characters like Jesse and Walt aren't in it, there's still like Tuco and a few other like characters that you know. Yes. Mike's in it and Gus Fring and you know, it sets up the world so that like it's just a perfect prequel because you're finding out all of this backstory
for all these different characters.
For all these different side characters in Breaking Bad and the more main characters in this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like that extra part of the universe, which is what a lot of franchises seem to be doing. That's where I'm at with it. Like, I've been enjoying the series. It's something to look forward to once a week.
That's good.
I like this whole Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, El Camino universe. I like the way it's shot. It's got that like
grungy
sepia effect to it. And just generally like the style of it. So I've actually given it a 3.5 out of 5.
Blimey.
Which I think is quite low for me.
But I wasn't sitting next to you, so it's about average.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows? Can you really?
It is quite low for you, but.
But that's it's because like
that's, for me that's an understandable.
I think it's because we're at series 5 now. I'm waiting for them to bridge the gap.
Yeah, and that's not good. That's like lost vibes where you're just like, when will this end?
I think if it ends this series,
that'd be nice.
It would be a perfect amount.
Yeah.
However, Netflix normally does that thing where it's like, this is the last series, and I don't think
it did
that.
Final season coming, yeah, it normally says that.
I don't think it did that.
And
for
I think
this.
We'd have noticed in like social media and stuff that this is.
Yeah, we may have seen. Maybe. No. I don't know. I tend to.
But then again, America do like breaks,
sort of
don't they, halfway through seasons? So
that's
maybe.
That's true. Yeah.
Maybe.
But then I don't think.
But
this,
they don't
really because this
Netflix.
Isn't. Well, yeah, because it's Netflix, exactly. Yeah. That's
okey
it.
Doke.
That's it. Better Call Saul. If you also watch Better Call Saul, then do you like that it comes out once a week, or would you rather have it drop the whole series?
Yeah, do people
once?
Like to binge things, or because I think sometimes I like to binge things, but sometimes I do look forward. So like The Good Place, I was looking forward to that every Friday.
Yeah.
Like RuPaul, I've got that Saturday morning before you get out of bed.
Yeah.
So I do like having something to look forward to weekly, but the thought of like having to wait weekly for something like The Stranger.
Right, yeah.
That I would have been like, oh, I want to watch more.
And I think sometimes with a show like The Stranger, if that was coming out weekly, like...
We'd probably
you'd
get
sort
bored,
of get
like
bored
The
of
Outsider.
It. Yeah, yeah, and then you don't get around to watching it,
yeah.
And I think if sort of everyone, like, if your friends are all watching it and your colleagues are all watching it, then it makes you want to watch it more. So, like, when Game of Thrones was coming out, that's got to be one of the most talked about series in an office.
Yeah.
You know, and like whenever.
But I think you've got to have like a really good standard to drop weekly with that sort of...
Right.
I think if it's a heavier subject, I think it's harder to drop weekly, whereas I think if sex education had dropped weekly, we would have looked forward to that every week.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Because, like, it's fun to have, like, a silly TV show to look
and,
forward to.
Like, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that in the follow-up.
Yeah.
But we finished that.
We did finish that. It was really good.
And it was really good. And I'd have watched that week on week.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I think harder things to watch, like The Outsider, where we do have to wait weekly.
Yeah.
It's like...
It feels like a slog.
I'll have to go back to this next week and
yeah.
Will I feel yeah. like watching something long and slow?
So our last TV show that we're going to talk about,
yeah,
we watched, there's only 6 episodes.
Of course, it's British, so.
And we watched it all in the space of 2 hours.
It's on Now TV.
Yep.
I think it's on Sky Comedy.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes.
Or Sky One?
I'm pretty sure it's on Sky Comedy because it was okay. part of the... new channel, like,
right,
because they brought Sky Comedy out and as the rollout.
Yeah. And we're talking about Intelligence, which is a TV show created by Nick Mohammed, and it also stars David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends.
Yes.
Which I'm sure he loves when yeah. people just use that as his.
Yeah. Which one's that again? Oh, you know, the tall one with the black hair. Nah. Ross from Friends. Oh, yes, of course.
Played Robert Kardashian in the O.J. Simpson TV show.
He was in Band of Brothers.
Yeah, there you go. See? Look at us. We know David Schwimmer's.
He was in Madagascar.
He was in Madagascar. He was the giraffe.
He was the giraffe. One of his best roles.
He was also in a weird film. Sorry to go off on a tangent, but he's also in a weird film where he is on an island with his girlfriend. And so is someone like Harrison Ford, but it might not be Harrison Ford.
This is Madagascar.
And Harrison Ford's girlfriend's with him, but then both couples sort of like split up and then they get with each other's girlfriends and it's dead weird.
What?
I made me remember that film
was
so wrong.
Celebrity.
No, let me try and find it. Let me try and find it. Yeah, so I was right. It's called 6 Days, 7 Nights. And it's got Anne Hesh in it, Harrison Ford, I was right, and Jacqueline Obrados. I don't know who that is. And basically in the South Pacific island of Makati, yeah. Career-driven magazine editor Robin Monroe, Anne Hesh, is on a week-long vacation with her boyfriend Frank Martin, David Schwimmer. A work assignment in the neighbouring Tahiti requires Robin to hire a cargo plane piloted by Quinn Harris, Harrison Ford, but a powerful storm forces Quinn to make an emergency landing on a nearby island, and this dissimilar pair learned to set aside their differences to discover rescue.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't quite what I said.
No, but, you know, Celebrity Love Island. That's what you said. Or I'm a Celebrity
Love Island edition. But yeah, like, David Schwimmer.
Yeah, right.
Back to Intelligence.
The confusing thing about that, though, is it must start at night and end at night? Because this is one thing that throws me off when, like...
What's it called?
Whenever
6 days,
we go
seven...
on 6 days, 7 nights. Whenever we go on holiday, I always get so confused about the amount of days and nights that we're doing things and staying in hotels and stuff. I don't know what it is. And I know the thing to do is just count the insides of your fingers as the days or the nights. See, this is the thing. It's really confusing.
Six, seven, yeah, so the arrive at night and leave at night.
Exactly, right. So this, it just really, like, throws me all
David
the time.
David Schwimmer, you ruined everything for us.
David Schwimmer? Anyway, obviously, because
we'll
I can't figure this out.
Just go back to calling him Ross from Friends. It's much easier than this. Easier. Anyway, Intelligence, what's it about, yeah. Jack? Tell us before I go off on another tangent.
It is about David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends. he works for the FBI. The CIA? They're the American ones, right?
He's part of like a branch...
of the CIA.
Of the FBI, I think.
Yeah. He works for...
He says it every episode like 16,000 times. How do we not remember this?
Government intelligence body in the Americas, in the USA. And he's over in the UK as a consultant
yeah.
for MI6.
Yes. He's part of the NSA.
NSA,
yeah.
National Secure Agency, National Security.
Sure.
I don't know what that stands for. It's classic, like, British comedy with it being only 6 episodes.
Yeah,
but I didn't like it.
Didn't you?
Like, it was an easy watch and it was funny at times, but I just thought it was like really brash. and cheesy.
See, that's what I kind of liked about it. It was funny, but not in a laugh out loud kind of way. It was right. In like a silly way that makes you smile. And sometimes that's all you want.
I think certain elements just wound me up. What annoys me is they like go over the top on the characters' characteristics. So yes. One of them's like a bit gothy. One of them's like a crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
And they'll just like double down on everything. Basically, it's an over the top version of themselves.
I know what you mean, but if you think of Friday Night Dinner, look at Jim. But you think that's really funny. Friday Night Dinner is quite witty and silly, but it's just silly and you're just like, oh, this is ridiculous.
I think it's because there's one character.
No, I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying like it's that sort of silly show.
Yeah, okay.
It's not like League of Gentlemen where it's just like none of this is going to make any sense, but it's not a real intelligent
yeah.
comedy. It's just... It's a bit of a laugh, that's all. It's like Only Fools and Horses. It's just like, that was cheeky.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know.
Fine if you don't like it. I thought it was like, it's okay.
Some of it.
Not saying it's great.
Some of it is absolutely hilarious. Like some of, mainly Nick Mohammed's lines.
He is so funny.
His character is like a little gnome.
Yeah. He's so cute.
He's like slightly nervous, slightly unsure if whether he's doing the right thing or not.
Got a little lazy eye.
Oh, he's
I think the best good. Scenes are when David Schwimmer and Nick
are
together, yeah. Everyone else is a bit over the top and a bit like, don't really care about your storyline. But I just thought it was cute and funny and it was a nice thing to put on. I'm trying to compare it to something. Like, I've got something in, like, the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of what it's called.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Not Going Out. That's crap.
Yeah, okay. it's almost...
Well, it's an easy watch.
It's not quite slapstick. Yeah. It's like a step away from being slapstick,
like,
isn't it?
See, like, Not Going Out is like I wouldn't say that was a sitcom because it's like, that's more like a play to me. I don't know.
The thing is, they are both sitcoms.
No, I know. Like, I know they are, but...
But not your classic sitcom. Like, Not Going Out is sitcom? Like... I don't know.
A clear set in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Whereas...
Does Not Going Out have a laugh track?
I think so.
Right.
Whereas Intelligence is like a studio set. Like a proper set.
Yeah.
Not that studio London sets aren't proper.
Yeah.
But you can tell it's just like the living room and kitchen and that's the only bit of set that they have.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. It's like it doesn't have a fourth wall because the fourth wall is an audience.
Yeah.
Where this, it's set in an office scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with
it's
you.
It's more cleanly filmed and stuff.
Yeah. It's
not BBC.
It feels like it's BBC.
It doesn't.
Though.
How rude!
It really does, and maybe that's why I don't like it.
No, I think it feels like a Sky sitcom. I don't know if you ever watched the Sky sitcom before, Stella.
Stella.
Mm. Ruth Jones.
No, I don't see that.
What's that one my mum likes?
I don't know. I think I may have done, but I can't think of any on the top of my head.
Moon Boy.
I'm giving it a 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a 2.5 out of 5.
And you liked it.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
If I was to put it back on, I'd probably clean in the house and just glance over it and just shake my head and smile.
Right, yeah.
What are those rascals up to, that sort of thing. But I wouldn't be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch this show. Unless the season 2 comes out, I will sit and watch it. But didn't hate it, didn't love it. It's all right.
So that's where I'm at. Like, I liked it enough to watch all 6 episodes.
Yes, in one sitting.
In one sitting. But I think it was like, it saved itself at certain times.
Yeah.
Where I thought, okay, this is getting a bit crap now, and then it got good for 5 minutes, and then we'll go back to being crap.
Yeah,
so
that's fair enough.
It pulled itself out a few times. Right, that is it for us for TV.
Love you.
Oh, thank you. Or do you mean them?
Everyone.
Oh, that's nice of you. Right, I've got a game this week.
Yes, let's play.
Let's play the game. Right, So as seems to be tradition, we've only gone back to other games a few times. I've got another new game.
Oh, no.
Which I don't think we've played.
Okay.
And it's called...
It's got a name.
Does It Exist?
Okay. Ooh.
right?
Okay, yeah.
So, dead simple concept. I've written down 10 names of TV shows.
Yeah.
And you have to tell me whether they exist or not.
Okay, excellent.
So, all of these were on TV in the 90s.
Oh, God.
But there's no direct genre. So, they could be a kids TV show. They could be drama. They could be
okay.
The news.
Oh, okay.
None of them are the news. Okay. Sorry. Right. So, does it exist? Number one, Caroline in the City.
Yes, my mum used to watch it.
Cool. Yes.
What? Who was it?
It does exist. It was Caroline. Caroline. I don't know. I didn't do any research into.
Oh, that's gonna bug me. But my mum used to watch that, Caroline in the City.
Okay. Number two, I wish.
That sounds like a TV show where, like, on MTV back in the day, where you go, I wish I was a rock star, and then they'd let you be a rock star for the day.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to say yeah.
Okay.
Are you not going to tell me yes or no?
What do you want?
I
want
to know, yeah.
Okay. Well, I told you that Carolina this is.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I was confused.
I wish doesn't exist.
Oh.
As far as I know.
Okay.
I made these names up on the
and
ones.
And didn't check. Oh, God. That's not fair. What if I know of a TV show?
Well, there you go. Okay.
God.
It's more fun this way.
Is it?
So you got that one wrong. All right. Question three.
Okay.
My so-called life.
I feel like that's a real one on Channel 4.
Okay.
You're not going to tell me now.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Is that your final answer? Yes, it does exist, and it starred Jared Leto.
Oh, so not Channel 4.
I don't know. It might have been on syndication on Channel 4. Okay, question four.
Mm-hmm.
Hetty Wainthrop investigates.
That's an unfortunate name. I like you, but I don't think you could come up with that name.
Oh.
So is it real? I think it's real.
It is real.
Yeah.
It is real.
I don't think you could come up with Hetty.
I can come up with more crazy, intricate names than Hetty Wainthrop.
Bet you could.
Brasheen.
No, real names. Hetty's a real name.
Nobleman.
It's great.
There you go. So if your name's Brasheen, let me know.
God. Well, you know a Brasheen.
Let's make a TV show about you. Question five. What would you do?
What would you do? No.
It does exist.
Oh, what is it?
Sorry to say, I have no idea.
God. You should be telling us what they are and who's in them.
Well, that would mean, you know, doing proper research for a proper game and not coming up with it 5 minutes before the show starts. So. But it does exist.
It does. It's not a good payoff though if I'm not learning anything.
It was a TV show in the 90s. Now you know.
Okay.
Question six. Life according to Jim Blue.
Not real.
Oh, how did you know? Is it because Jim Blue?
Jim Blue's a very creative name by Jack McCormack.
Okay, so if that was life according to Brasheen Nobleman, what would your answer be then?
I'd probably say it was real.
Well, there you go. I can't come up with.
You've got to be pushed though, Jack.
Okay, right. Question seven.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you got that one right, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And you got what would you do wrong? Yeah. Question seven.
Mm-hmm.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
That's fake.
Nope, it's real.
Oh, God.
Apparently it was a film.
Oh, you said
and
TV
then they
show.
Turned that into a TV show in the 90s.
Why?
An animated TV show.
Okay.
That sometimes called awful. A cartoon. Question eight.
Mm-hmm.
Friends in the Fort.
That's a Jack.
I'm glad you're not looking at me when I'm saying these, because I can't keep a straight face.
That's a Jack.
That is a Jack. That does not exist. As far as I know. But I really hope one day someone makes a show called Friends in the Fort.
They have. It's called Community.
See? It's not called Friends in the Fort. Okay. Number nine. Question nine. Dog City.
I mean, yes, I'm hoping that's real.
It is. Jim Henson. And last question 10.
Yes, last question 10.
Last question 10. The World of David the Gnome.
You feel kind of smug, but I'm going to say this is real.
It is real. It's about a gnome called David and his wife Lisa.
Stop.
Who's also a gnome.
I'd make a good gnome.
I think a lot of people would make good gnomes.
Fine, take that from me.
So, well, okay, sell it to me. What makes you a good gnome?
No one really wants me in the garden, but some people might.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys. If you want Lisa as a gnome, No one really wants you in the garden, but some people might.
That's how gnomes work.
Great.
Right, Emily would want to steal me and put me around the different countries.
There's the game. That's the game.
My name is Emily.
Run the music. So have you got any cool things this week?
I do, but it's not like our usual cool thing. It is Endometriosis Awareness Month in March.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what endometriosis is, it's a painful disorder where the tissue, similar to the tissue that normally lines the inside of your uterus, grows on the outside of the uterus and elsewhere in the body.
Right.
And it's really painful. It's not very nice. 1 in 10 girls actually have it.
That's a lot.
Women.
Yeah.
It goes undiagnosed for most women for 7 to 10 years. Wow. Because a lot of women just think it's normal to have painful periods.
Yes.
The only way to find out if you have endometriosis is through a laparoscopy, which is surgery.
Yeah, which is essentially a microscope.
So what they do is they make usually 3 incisions, which is usually your belly button and 2 sides either side of your hips.
Yep.
They blow up your body with air,
mm-hmm.
put in a camera to see if there's any tissue that needs lasering away. No microscopes in there.
End of the show, I'm tired.
And they laser away any endometriosis. So
right.
It's not a nice thing to have, but a lot of women have it, and it's something that women should be educated about and to keep an eye on and ask questions about your body and whether something seems normal. If it doesn't, talk to someone. Like, it's a horrible thing to have to go through, and like I said, it can take up to 7 to 10 years to get diagnosed. So if you think something's wrong, go talk to your GP and push, because a lot of people will just say it's normal period pains when it's not.
Do you have any resources or places where people can go to look at more information?
Endometriosis UK is a great website. I got a lot of information on there from when I was diagnosed.
Yep.
NHS website. It can seem quite scary, but
there's loads of support groups for it.
There's a lot of support groups, and there's loads of podcasts that talk about it. This week, the Papaya podcast, which is the podcast that I had last week is my cool thing. They actually had Doug the Pug's mum on Who's Got It, and they talked about that, which I thought was really funny because, like, I have a pug, got endometriosis, so it was, like, my podcast to listen to this week.
And there's a endometriosis subreddit. Of course, there's a subreddit for everything. Yeah.
Oh, have you just checked?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just want people to be aware of what it is. It's a silent, what do they call them?
I don't know.
It's like a silent illness that people don't know that's happening. People just think it's bad pains, but it's much more than that.
Because it's in the same area where you'd normally have, or a similar area to where you'd have period pains.
Yeah.
Sometimes doctors will think it's that.
Yeah, and you just get given paracetamol or ibuprofen and sent on your way. But sometimes it'll take something, like what happened to me was I had a cyst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they thought I had appendicitis, so I got rushed to the doctors fast, so that I was seen too quickly. So I'm quite lucky with my story, but I know a lot of women have had to wait a long time.
Yeah, sadly. So yeah, it's it's a not cool thing.
Yeah, well, it's cool to spread awareness.
Exactly. So yeah, the not coolness is the illness.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is letting people know about it.
Yeah, the cool thing is that we've got a platform to tell people about
it. Which is great. And I feel like when you were first diagnosed, it's not just that we hadn't heard of it. There wasn't even, it felt like an illness that was struggling to be made aware of.
Yeah.
And now it seems
to be. Well, I think now social media is like bigger.
Yeah.
And a lot of women are standing up for themselves.
Yeah.
People are saying, you know what, this is crap and doctors don't know enough about it. They're not funding it because it's not something you can see and it's not killing us.
Yeah.
It's just chronic pain every day and it's not classed as a disability. It's not fair. So people are standing up and using the term endo warriors because we are fighting every day for pain or people pushing us back on how bad it actually is.
Yeah.
So,
well, how do they know?
Exactly. Like when I spoke to that doctor and I said, it's making my legs hurt. And she's like, it doesn't do that. I'm like, well, it is.
How does she
you know? Don't know. It is. It's making my legs hurt.
And when
I can't stand up.
Other women with endometriosis say they have leg pain.
Yeah.
Then.
So that's why spreading awareness is great. If you do have it, go and talk to other people, because when a doctor's telling you that's not part of it. Yeah. And then you find out loads of other people do have the same issue. It makes you feel normal and that you are okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So my cool thing this week, we both started doing the Couch to 5K, sort of as like a long-term goal, as both of us want to do the Disney 5K, 10K, however far the runs are, and partly just to get a bit healthier. It's pretty good. We're on week two, and it sort of, it lasts for 9 weeks, and there's three runs a week. So over the space of 27 runs, the idea is you can then just run five kilometers. I've done four. The start into, like, the first three, obviously it's week one, were relatively easy. Week two, like, my shins are starting to hurt. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
It's not as nice as I was hoping it would be, but I think that's because I started week two. Because we run at different times just based on our work schedules. But I do mine after work, and it was raining. So not only was I sweaty, I was also soaking wet. So that was...
And then you went out in the rain.
Really fun. Very funny. Very funny. When you come onto the app, you can choose who your trainer is. So you've got a choice of Laura, who is like the default person, Joe Wiley, Sanjeev Kohli, Sarah Milliken, or Michael Johnson. I just went with Laura because I'm not bothered. I'd rather just make a noise at when I need to start and start running.
I chose Sarah Milliken because she's got a very soothing voice and she's just like, go on, Peck, you're doing a great job. And I'm just like, thanks, Sarah.
Yeah.
I feel like my mum's cheering me on.
Although your mum's not. I know what you mean.
My mum's not Jordy, but she's like, just small and sweet. I don't know. Whereas...
Do you think if someone was playing your mum in a show, it would be?
No. Don French.
But yeah, it's pretty good. It's got, like, you know, bits of advice throughout, but it's just quite a simple app, basically. Like,
yeah, like, it makes you walk for 5 minutes, run for 60 seconds. This is in week one. Walk 5 minutes to warm up, run 60 seconds, walk for 90 seconds, and do that 7 times.
Yeah.
And then you do a 5 minute walk to cool down.
One thing I find strange about the app is before you start your run, it says, how do you feel? And then when you finish the run, it says, how do you feel now? And so I've been coming home from work and I'd be like, I don't feel great, a bit miserable, because it'd been a bit of a tough week last week. Then I went and did my run, didn't feel any better.
Oh,
didn't
really?
Feel any worse. No, it's like, I like running because it clears my head, so I don't have to think about anything. But when I finish running, I don't feel better for the run because I've stopped running. Like, now I'm just like,
that's just you because, like, miserable. I finish the run and I feel accomplished and I feel like, oh, I'm glad I've done that now, and I feel good about myself for doing it, so mine usually goes up because I'm happy that I've done it, because, like, getting up at 5, I don't particularly want to be running outside.
No.
But after I've done it, I'm like, I'm really proud of you, Lisa.
Oh, fair enough.
That's what Sarah says anyway.
Oh, I think it's why I'm not bothered about Laura. Like, carry on, you're doing a great job. I'm like, well, I'm just running.
You need Sarah.
I don't. Well, I might try Sarah, but...
She's like, okay, we're going to start running now.
Yeah.
And you're just like, all right.
So one thing I like about the app, but it also doesn't work that well, is you can have music on in the background,
mm-hmm,
or podcasts, but because it, like, has to play something new whenever it chimes in to tell you what's going on, the other day it stopped playing my podcast, and then when it went to play again, it played a new episode, so it stopped my episode halfway through and started another one. And what frustrates me is I don't want to stop.
To change it.
Oh, I get my phone out of my pocket. I just don't want to be, like, messing around getting my stuff back. I think it would be fine, like... So I've run a few times listening to music. I'm not fussed if the track changes. But when it's a podcast, I'm like, it's one of the only times I get to, I'm on my own and I get to listen to this all the way through without distraction. And I was dead into this episode of Design Details, and then boom.
So when Laura comes in and says, like, it's time to slow down now.
Yeah.
It doesn't keep playing in the background.
Sometimes.
Oh, see, I've never had that problem. So maybe it's just, but I don't listen to podcasts while I run.
Yeah.
Because I get the train, so that's when I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
I just listen to music and it just carries on playing the music in the background, because I'm usually, like, humming along while she's talking, and then I'll carry on, like, singing in my head.
Yeah, I think...
So that might be a podcast issue rather than...
I'm trying to sort of use that time for my podcast time, but the runs I've had where I'm listening to music, I definitely feel more motivated during that run. But at the same time, if I listen to something really like upbeat, I'll start running quicker. And then by the end of it, I'm like even more tired. So I've not paced myself.
Throughout. Well, that's what I was saying today, wasn't it? Like, I was listening to like a slow ballad.
Yeah.
And I was just like slowly like plodding along. Well, not plodding, but I was like doing a slow jog. And then she was like, right, it's your final one now. And like my ballad was still on. And then the next song was like, and I was like, ah!
It's really strange how music affects the way.
Because you try and run to the rhythm though. Well, so if you can find something that's just like,
I was in the gym this morning, usually music's like quite upbeat no matter what it is, but one track came on today and it was like really mellow, and I was looking around like, it's so weird watching people like lift weights or on the running machine or whatever they're doing just to this like dead soft music. Well, it wasn't like, it was more like a slow hip-hop slash like rap R&B track. I don't know what genre it was.
Classic place singers come from.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our cool things for the week.
Thank you for listening. If you could leave us a review, it helps more people find the show.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at PerfectCastPod.
Or you can send us an email at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com.
All links in the show notes, and we'll see you next week.
Sayonara.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Do you know what? It's like that Barbie at the end of Toy Story 2.
Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Don't forget your popcorn, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
That was a terrible accent. I apologise.
It was beautiful. It was almost as good as my American.
Hey, how dare you? Episode. Yours was awful.
It was the best. It was the greatest. And it'll appear again at some point in another episode.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.